This is Jay Sekulow. A bill has been introduced. It is being voted on today. H.R. 7, an act to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortion.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the fight for life continues on day two of the Trump administration. H.R. 7, that's House Resolution 7, to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortions. It's a bill to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortions. Has been introduced yesterday, last evening, by our friend Chris Smith, Congressman Smith from New Jersey. He's going to be joining us on the second segment of the broadcast. The act's title is quick: No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion, an Abortion Full Disclosure Act of 2017. This falls on the heels of what happened yesterday, which was also very, very significant, when President Obama reinstated the Mexico City policy. This would prohibit taxpayer funding of abortion, what's called the Hyde Amendment, but it would make it law. So, Jordan, this is a big step forward again, on the issue of life.
Yeah, when it comes to actual dollars being spent, taxpayer dollars being spent to pay for abortion procedures, what Donald Trump was able to do, President Trump was able to do yesterday through reinstating the Mexico City policy, was to make sure none of our taxpayer dollars went to pay for abortions overseas. This legislation would make sure none of our taxpayer dollars, and it would codify this into law, none of our taxpayer dollars went to pay for abortions.
Right.
Here in our own country, the United States of America.
And this also includes federal facilities as well, Than. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Let's talk. This is right now in, literally, going to be voted on today.
Yeah, the debate on this is going to take place in just minutes. Actually, Chris Smith, who's going to be on the next segment, he's going to leave our broadcast, Jay, and go immediately to the floor to debate and lead the charge on this. But listen, Jordan's exactly right. This is important for a couple of reasons. Remember, the abortion industry last year essentially argued that they have a constitutional right to taxpayer dollars. This says exactly the opposite. This says we're going to take the Hyde Amendment, which has annually been renewed to block the funding of domestic abortions here in the United States, and we are going to make it permanent law. It's going to apply not just to a limited part of the government, it's going to apply government-wide, Jay, and if this is enacted, it does not have to be revisited every year. It will be in U.S. statute, and taxpayer dollars will not go to perform abortions in the United States.
You know, it's interesting. This comes on the same day that the designate for HHS, Health and Human Services, Dr. Tom Price from Georgia, is up again for a second round of hearings. So there's clearly the Senate Democrats and the House, I think the House Democrats working with the Senate Democrats in that sense, are doing everything they can to delay some of these key positions. I mean, President Obama, on his very first day being sworn into office, had 7 appointments. So did President Bush. Donald Trump gets 3, 2 cabinet, 1, and the CIA director. So, you know, this is a very different standard, but they really know, the abortion industry knows here, Jordan, that they are in real trouble under this administration because, as we're going to discuss, the defunding of Planned Parenthood is only going to take 51 votes.
That's right. So, I mean, significant amount of their budgets, we're talking nearly half of Planned Parenthood's budget alone, could be gone in this fiscal year. And so they've already seen significant cuts to their international work, which I'm sure under the Obama administration was millions and millions of dollars funneling into Planned Parenthood International. That is now done. Also in the U.S., remember, this is a billion-dollar-a-year organization.
Yeah.
They rely on these kind of reimbursements. For about half of that $1 billion, $500 million-plus, comes from taxpayer dollars and federal government reimbursements. That will be gone this fiscal year. So you are going to see a new campaign. You're already seeing it right now.
Yep.
That was what the marches were on Sunday. Planned Parenthood hitting the streets. They are, as we are on the offensive, Planned Parenthood is now on the defensive, and there's a Supreme Court nominee coming forward
next week.
That likely will be someone they oppose strongly. And so, again,
if it's Bill Pryor or Neil Gorsuch, it sure will be.
It's that shift that's happening right now in our country in these fights on life. It's a proactive fight on our side.
I will say that both Pryor and Gorsuch would be fantastic nominees. I've been in front of Neil Gorsuch and know Bill Pryor very well. All right, we come back. We're going to take your calls. Let me let everybody. Lines are already jammed, but people can get their comments in on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Lines are full, but you can join us. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Thousands of you already are. Make sure to share that and keep it coming. Again, Facebook.com/JaySekulow.
The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Planned Parenthood receives hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars each year. And at the ACLJ, we're working with the Trump administration and members of Congress to stop the flow of taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. We're also vigorously battling in the biggest pro-life cases in the nation to defeat the abortion industry and to defend life. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. The time to do that is right now. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. A bill has been introduced, H.R. 7, which is a bill to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortion. It basically codifies into law the Hyde Amendment. Chris Smith is the main architect of that bill. He's going to be joining us shortly. We hope to have him right at the beginning, but literally they are going to the floor of the House for these votes. So we'll hear from him shortly. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan. People are calling. Again, 800-684-3110.
Now let's go to Josh, who's calling in California on line 5.
Hey,
or
Josh.
Line 2, excuse me.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. How's it going? So I know the Hyde Amendment states that under federal regulation, they can only receive abortions from if they were the product of incest, rape, or murder. So how are women receiving abortions paid through taxpayer dollars outside of those guidelines? And was there any, this is my second part, was there any actual proof ever that they were actually selling body parts, or was that just...
No, there was a lot of proof on the body part issue. First of all, let me say this. We're litigating. We represent one of the board members in that Center for Medical Progress litigation in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals right now. So we think the evidence is substantial. So do the House and Senate. And in fact, on the House and Senate side of the selling of the body parts, and Planned Parenthood, you know, they believe me. They were hoping for not Donald Trump to be president. Here's what Chris Hayes on MSNBC interviewed Cecilia Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, yesterday.
What does this say to you about the direction of this administration?
Well, it's very disturbing that they would do something even so much more extreme than anything that happened under President Bush. I don't even know if they fully understand the impact on women's lives in this around the globe. Of course, it's a cautionary tale because, as you say, this is only going to increase women who die from unsafe abortions, and it is going to increase unintended pregnancy across the world. This president was elected because he was going to create jobs and drain the swamp, and yet this is what he does first day in office.
Let me just say something also. He also signed an executive order today that's going to help significantly on both the Dakota Pipeline and the Keystone Pipeline. So that goes to jobs and the economy. But the fact is, Jordan, they are reeling from this. Oh, well, let me go to this. We've got Congressman Smith. All right, let's go right to Congressman Smith then. Congressman Smith, thanks for being with us. You have dropped H.R. 7, a bill to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortions. We got a lot of people calling and a lot of people listening around the country, millions. Tell everybody what this bill is going to do.
Well, the bill would make the Hyde Amendment, which has been in effect for 40 years, and other pro-life prohibitions on funding for abortion permanent. We know, for example, when Bill Clinton came into office and he had a Democrat House and Senate, we lost everything but the Hyde Amendment, including my amendment on the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, 8 million people who are covered by that. All of a sudden, abortion on demand was being paid for So this legislation would make Hyde and all the other enactments permanent law. The good news is, and most people are only beginning to realize this, but there's very strong empirical data that shows that the Hyde Amendment has saved over 2 million lives because the money wasn't there to facilitate the death and destruction of that baby. And much of that data actually comes from the Guttmacher Institute, formerly the research arm of Planned Parenthood. They look at it as a negative, of course. We rejoice at those children's lives, some of whom are as old as 39 now, because Hyde has been in effect since for 40 years. And the second thing it would do is to ensure that the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, it's not affordable either, until repeal, conforms with the Hyde Amendment. We know, and Obama told a gross falsehood on the floor of the House of Representatives in 2009 when he said, under our plan, no federal dollars would be used to pay for abortion. We know that federal subsidies are projected to cost $672 billion over the next 11 years, according to the Congressional Budget Office. And we are buying plans, over 1,000 of them, according to GAO, that include abortion on demand.
Yep.
Exactly the opposite of what he said. And then it will also compel transparency again in Obamacare.
Jordan. That's important, Congressman Smith. We just had a caller right before you were on because this legislation, they were under the impression that we thought that under the Hyde Amendment, at least that we weren't, you couldn't use an actual taxpayer dollar or federal fund to pay for the abortion procedure. But as you just said, why this legislation is important, it's broader than that because of things like the Affordable Care Act. Exactly. There were insurance plans being offered that did provide for abortion services, and our taxpayer dollars and federal funds were going to those plans. So this legislation does go a step further. And for those people out there who thought this was already covered, it was actually not already covered by the existing Hyde Amendment.
That's exactly right. And you know, again, they've gotten away with it. Matter of fact, the Washington Post had done a three Pinocchios against me some years back because they said, oh, Obamacare doesn't pay for abortion. It conforms with the Hyde Amendment. Absolutely untrue. Hyde covers plans. And Obama, again, sleight of hand, gross distortion and deception, was the one who promised it wouldn't happen. Then it did happen. And it took us getting the GAO and others to weigh in and say, how many plans pay for abortion on demand? And some of those, the exchanges in some states, have nothing but abortion-providing plans paid for, again, with U.S. taxpayer funding.
You know, there's another aspect of this. Former President Obama said that reproductive care is health care, so that was part of his fundamental issue. But we've got an interesting caller coming in, Congressman. I want to take it because I think this will help explain to Lenny and others that are listening because they're confused on this, how important, and we think this is, by the way, at the ACLJ, H.R. 7 is a top priority piece of legislation moving forward. Remember, we talked about this before we went on air. We're in the offensive now, folks. So we're not playing defense. I mean, you got to be smart. You got to think through these processes, but we've got to take these things forward. So let's go ahead and take a call here. I think Congressman will be able to answer this question.
Let's go
really
to line three, Lenny in Buffalo, New York.
You're on the air with Congressman Smith. Go ahead.
Hello, Jay. I have a letter here in response to my letter to my local congressman asking to defund Planned Parenthood. And two things he said in the letter. He said it has long been federal policy. Federal funds cannot be used to pay for an abortion. And later in the letter, he says that, as you may know, 90% of the services provided by Planned Parenthood work toward the end of providing counseling, screening, testing.
Which
and
all,
so on.
All to answer your second one quickly, that's all bogus. We've seen that they try. That's their line. They do 322 to 330 million abortions a year. Having said that, Congressman Smith, the first part of that letter, go ahead.
Further amplifying, that means, Jay, that we're talking about 7 million unborn babies who have been either dismembered or chemically poisoned in Planned Parenthood clinics alone. They are Child Abuse Incorporated. They have destroyed, you know, so many children. The most unsafe place in the world today for an unborn child is in a Planned Parenthood clinic. And what we know that when we provide huge amounts of money to Planned Parenthood, it allows them, money is fungible, to set up shop, to promote abortion, which they do, to pay for their clinics. And then through a bookkeeping exercise, they will attribute a very small amount of money to those 7 million abortions and say, oh, see, we're conforming with federal law. The revelations about selling baby body parts, the Dalyden videos, and the criminal, as you pointed out, the criminal referrals that have been made to justice by the House and the Senate, the expose that was done by Live Action about the
right.
the complicity with human trafficking. And I urge everybody to watch these videos to get a sense of who it is that is operating inside these clinics, because they are very good at presenting a facade of what Planned Parenthood is all about. And the more they're exposed, the more people come back and say, oh, my God, look what they're doing. 61% of the American people support defunding. And on the Mexico City piece, which you were talking about a moment ago, President Trump, in a very courageous move, and Vice President Pence, have said, we do not want to be funding the abortion industry. The previous president gave out blank checks.
Absolutely.
I say that figuratively, but it is almost literal. For instance, Marie Stopes International in 2015, a huge promoter of abortion worldwide, based out of London, as well as IPBF and these other groups. Marie Stopes got $100 million from the United States government. The new 21st century Mexico City policy will now say that we will provide the same amount of foreign aid, but you know who we give to matters. And we do not want organizations to be promoting laws that put unborn children at risk, as well as killing them in their clinics in Africa and elsewhere around the world.
All right, Congressman, really quick here. I got less than 40 seconds. Sure. The bill has been introduced. When are you expecting the vote?
The vote should be sometime in early afternoon today. The debate starts on the rule at 12:30, just a few minutes from now. And then we'll have the full court, obviously, debate on the bill itself.
Great.
And vote.
All right, Congressman Chris Smith, thanks for coming. I know you're about to go to the floor of the House of Representatives. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate this. And continue the great work. We're behind you.
Thank you for the extraordinary work you guys do. You know, on religious freedom as well as on the sanctity of life. You are just a class act, and you do it with such ability and with such fervor. You know, you love the weakest and the most vulnerable, and it shines every day in the work that you do. So thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate it, and it's great to have you on. Thank you for taking time to be with us. Folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. A vote today, H.R. 7, a bill to stop the federal funding of abortion. Step two, as I said and I mentioned yesterday, this is step two. All right, Logan, we're going to let people know they can still engage with us.
Absolutely. And we got one line open, 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us on social media.
Yeah. Also, folks, don't forget, we've got a fundraiser. Actually, it's not a fundraiser. We've got an informational piece out right now on this issue of a bill to permanently stop funding abortions. That email is out today. Respond to it. And, of course, we appreciate your support for the ACLJ at aclj.org. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Planned Parenthood receives hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars each year. And at the ACLJ, we're working with the Trump administration and members of Congress to stop the flow of taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. We're also vigorously battling in the biggest pro-life cases in the nation to defeat the abortion industry and to defend life. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. The time to do that is right now. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let me give you an update on where we are with confirmations. We now have word that there will be a Supreme Court nomination next week. That's the one there's going to be a fight over, folks. And if you look at the list of the leading contenders, Bill Pryor, Neil Gorsuch, these are both judges that have ruled in a pro-life perspective. They have been pro-religious liberty. Gorsuch wrote the opinion at the 10th Circuit involving Hobby Lobby. I actually have had cases in front of him as well, including our Ten Commandments case, where he wrote the dissent in our favor, which ended up being the basis upon which the Supreme Court ruled in our favor. So very good there. Bill Pryor, someone we worked with when he was state attorney general. I represented the state of Alabama on religious liberty cases and were successful. So we know Bill Pryor's record is exceptional as well. Those are the two leading candidates we're hearing right now. So the Secretary of Defense has been confirmed, and that is General Mattis. Mike Kelly has been confirmed as DHS Secretary. That all took place on the 20th. Mike Pompeo last night became the approved director of the CIA. Ben Carson for HUD has cleared the committee. We should get a vote on him today. Elaine Chao and Ross for Commerce also confirmed later today. By the way, Logan, I think Linda McMahon is supposedly heard hearings today for SBA, Small Business Administration. So she'll get confirmed.
Yeah.
Secretary Tillerson, designate for Secretary of State, looks like he's going to be confirmed. He's cleared committee, no vote yet. The couple they're holding right now are Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, who has been held over today in committee. Committee vote is now scheduled for the 31st of January, with a floor vote not until February 3rd. Tom Price is in his second hearing today. And Betsy DeVos, no further hearings. And where are we on that one, fan, with Betsy DeVos on education?
Yeah, the committee has scheduled a hearing a vote in committee. I think that's going to be next week, Jay. I don't recall the date off the top of my head, but I don't think she has a problem. She's going to be approved. It's just a matter of timing, getting her out of committee.
And I believe Sessions and Price are going to be confirmed as well, Jordan, but it's very clear that those are the two they're using to prime themselves for what's going to happen next week when we've got a Supreme Court vacancy.
Yeah, that's right.
Announced.
These are people who are going to, because of the way the rules were changed by the Democrats, they're going to get to the 51 votes. And listen, they all are significant departures from who Democrats would like to see and how they would like to see these agencies run. And they know that HHS obviously will be in charge of implementing the replacement for the Affordable Care Act, which is coming from Congress, Betsy DeVos supports significant education reforms that are opposed by teachers' unions and groups like that. And, of course, with Jeff Sessions, the Department of Justice, which needs a complete overhaul. Yep. And I think that is the one that the liberals are most, you could say, scared about, nervous about. But I think that they're most upset that they're losing that because President Obama was able to politicize it so much, use it as an enforcement arm for all of his policies. And remember, they were the ones who would always go back to him and say, yes, what you're doing is legal.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that they're pushing back a bit here. But ultimately, as you said, they needed to prepare.
Yeah.
Because if you saw these initial hearings, these were Democrat senators that were not ready to go to battle over a Supreme Court nominee.
They were the questioning
on
Tom Price was
these past couple weeks.
They've not laid a glove on anybody. The questions in some cases were just so off point and incorrect. I mean, they were quoting things that were just, as a lawyer, were just not true. That's something they went after Tom Price on the finances. Did you get an inside deal on some stock thing? Ends up being it was a private offering of which is a regulated offering still through the states, not the federal government. You know, the states have a role in this too. So this is the absurd nature of it. They didn't even know the questions to ask. That's the truth. Anyways, let's get some comments, some calls.
Yeah, some comments are coming in about some of the picks. Daryl said he doesn't really agree with President Trump's Secretary of Education pick.
Betsy DeVos.
You definitely see Betsy DeVos getting a lot of heat on social media online for some of her responses. Honestly, looking at the responses myself, I feel like what she said was actually all correct.
Right.
It was more just, was she as used to doing these kind of hearings?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe was a little intimidated by being in that room.
Yeah, she's not a politician.
But the words she said, I don't feel like I disagree with.
Look, who doesn't want to see in the inner city school choice? I mean, what person? I'll tell you who doesn't. The education lobbies and the education unions. That's who, the teachers' unions. They don't want to see school choice because you know what happens when you have school choice? The inner city people, the parents there, are going to pick the best schools for their kids to go to, and those teachers are put under a real microscope, like they have to really perform. So that's the teachers' lobby. So let's not fall for that. Betsy DeVos is being confirmed. She spent her life helping in the inner city on education. This is a family that has been very committed to the inner city. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's like when they went after tried to go after Ben Carson in the press. What does he know about housing and urban development? He lived in it. That would be one for the starters. But they don't want to ever talk about that. But again, I think what Jordan said, this is all the – look, folks, this is all the lineup for what is going to happen next week when we have either Bill Pryor, Neil Gorsuch, or someone else nominated to fill the justice slot left vacant by the death of our friend Justice Antonin Scalia. That's what this is about, and that will be – and, Jordan, you've been up there. I mean, this is how they prime the fight.
Yeah, and so all the attention, all this discussion you're seeing right now on these cabinet nominees, that will really go by the wayside the moment, and a lot of these will be getting votes next week. Donald Trump has said he's going to make this announcement next week, and certainly his team has to confirm the next couple weeks, but he said today next week. That means all of the focus and attention shifts from the cabinet nominees.
Right.
They will all get approved and go through the process, and all of the Democrats' attention will be on that Supreme Court nominee and trying to tear them apart.
We will keep you posted on that. Let's go ahead and take some more calls.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Carrie in Arizona, line one.
Hey, Carrie.
Yes, I am so thankful for H.R. 7 and for our new president that with the stroke of a pen, he saved the lives of hundreds of thousands of mothers and babies worldwide. And I just, may God bless our president, our vice president, and the United States of America. I just want to start off with that. I live in a county in Arizona, Pinal County, and my husband and I have excellent health insurance. His employer pays a good amount for it, and unfortunately, because of my health, I really take advantage of the coverage. But I've noticed over the years, since I was told that I could keep my coverage, I could keep my doctor, I've actually noticed the opposite. Our rates have been going up. Our coverage, our services, our prescription coverage has gone down. And I noticed that effective January 1st, 2017, I was seeking to, you know, look for supplemental insurance, and there is absolutely not one insurance company available in my area effective January 1st.
So let me tell you what's going to, I think, as part of the comprehensive reform on the Affordable Care Act, as it's called, I'm not going to call it Obamacare anymore, the Affordable Care Act, the redo of that, the repeal and replace, will have these insurance companies having to be competitive, Fan. And that's a big part of the problem right now. They haven't had to be competitive over state lines. That will change drastically.
Well, it really plays into exactly the previous callers that you had, Jay, because this is the exact reason and the only reason that Tom Price is continuing to be delayed. Because remember, President Trump has already issued the directive for the Secretary of HHS, that's Tom Price, once confirmed, to start granting waivers and exemptions, not just to individuals, but also to insurance companies, Jay, that under the ACA cannot provide the kind of coverage that the caller is talking about. So once he's confirmed, he is going to be able to provide some of those exemptions. And that kind of insurance that she's talking about, it's going to start to come onto the market again.
We have a piece out on all of this, including the stop funding of abortions, H.R. 7, which is coming up for a vote today. We encourage you to respond to that email at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. That's going to do it for the first 30 minutes, but we're here for another 30 minutes, and you need to be getting the full hour of this broadcast.
Yep, and if you don't get it on your station, join us on Facebook or Periscope or at aclj.org. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Not only do you get to see us, you get to hear us, you get to talk to us, you get to comment. It's really interesting, and the show never goes to break, never goes off the air. You get to see exclusive videos. That's at Facebook and on Periscope and aclj.org.
And don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. The battle to be on the offense continues. That's expensive. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference at aclj.org.
The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, so welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. H.R. 7, a bill to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortions, is now being voted on today and will be passing the House of Representatives. It was introduced by our friend Chris Smith. Congressman Smith from New Jersey was just on the broadcast. He was literally going into the House chamber to debate the bill, but that bill is going to go for prohibiting federally funded abortions under Title I. This is not the defunding of Planned Parenthood. That's coming in subsequent legislation. Fan, when are we expecting the defunding bills to start being dropped?
I think you'll start seeing those language in about a month, Jay. It's currently in committee. They are instructed to put out their report language. I think that's going to happen in about 3 or 4 weeks, probably on the floor of each chamber about 6 weeks from now. But listen, I think the way to describe this, Jay, is a 1-2-3 punch. There are so many tentacles in the federal government for abortion funding. These are the first three swings at it, three very good swings. But by the way, this is going to be an ongoing effort. Abortion has made its way into every corner of this federal government, and it's starting to roll back now, so we're going to have to stick through it.
So Planned Parenthood is not too happy about this. This is Planned Parenthood's email. I know Jordan yesterday on the broadcast talked about that the whole march was really Planned Parenthood. You saw that today Planned Parenthood puts out Deshaun Spicer, the press spokesperson, access to abortion is an American value. I mean, they're actually saying access to abortion is an American value. The destruction of an unborn child is an American value. This is what happened yesterday. Sean Spicer made this statement. I'll play the response in a moment, but let's play Sean Spicer's number two. This is what he said.
He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world of what a value we place on life.
You know, I love the way they describe themselves in their press releases. I'm going to ask Jordan to come. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading provider and advocate of high-quality, affordable health care for women, men, and young people, as well as the nation's largest provider of sex education. And then they talk about their 650 centers. What they don't say in there is the largest provider of abortions. So that is what they do. That is what they're worried about. And this is why they're reacting the way they are.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they understand that they are under full assault, if you will. Now that the Trump administration has taken over, the Republicans won the House and retained control there, took back the U.S. Senate, retained control there.
Both the House and the Senate referring to the Department of Justice.
That's right. We pointed that out, you know, yesterday, is that under the Obama administration, that was one thing for the House and the Senate to recommend a criminal investigation of your organization, of Planned Parenthood, to DOJ when that was Loretta Lynch. When Jeff Sessions is the head of the Department of Justice, Planned Parenthood is got to be much more nervous. I mean, Dad, they can move right ahead with then Attorney General Sessions or one of his deputies could assign those correct officials to then begin the investigation of whether there was, in fact, criminal conduct, as the House and Senate committees believe there were.
I think this is one of the reasons they're fighting to have Jeff Sessions. They're trying to delay that confirmation battle. But Jeff Sessions gets, let me explain to you what happens. That referral's already been made by the House and Senate. It goes to the Department of Justice now, and Loretta Lynch is not there. She can't destroy it. So what happens? Jeff Sessions becomes the Attorney General of the United States. He sends it over to the head of the criminal division and says, open up an investigation or let the criminal division handle it the way they would, goes to the FBI for further investigation. We know what they were engaged in. I'm litigating the case. We're not just talking about it on this broadcast. We're in court over these very issues right now. And the fact of the matter is, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, Planned Parenthood worships at the altar of abortion. And at the end of the day, what this is about, what this is really about, is their ability to have money for abortions. $500 million, and that legislation to defund them does not take 60 votes. It is a 51-vote break, or if it was 50-50, you'd get Vice President Pence, who's the president of the Senate, would go forward and vote that defunding. So that's a big part of this. All right, we're going to take more calls and comments when we come back. We got millions listening across the country, thousands watching online. We'll take comments and calls when we come back.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110, or on social media, Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in shortly. We also have other ways you can join us. During the breaks, though, you get exclusive video. I didn't say that. Coming up, I assume we have a video? Exclusive video to Facebook, so make sure. Remember, the breaks don't end. There are no breaks online, so join us there.
Yes, there are no breaks. We don't get to rest our voices. But we'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110. We do have a call coming in about the money going to the Palestinian Authority yesterday. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break as well.
The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Planned Parenthood receives hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars each year. And at the ACLJ, we're working with the Trump administration and members of Congress to stop the flow of taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. We're also vigorously battling in the biggest pro-life cases in the nation to defeat the abortion industry and to defend life. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. The time to do that is right now. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. All right, $220 million goes to the Palestinian Authority. We've got a call coming in on that. I want to talk about that little surprise at the end game here. We don't want to look back much, but when it's something we think worthwhile, we will. Let's go ahead and take the call.
Let's go to Izzy in Fort Worth, Texas, on line six. You're on the air. Izzy, you there?
Thank you for all you do.
Yep.
I have a two-part question. I just heard news about that, Obama doing that in his last hours. And really, I'm just wondering if it's criminal, and if so, what is the legal recourse
on
that?
Let me tell everybody what happened. So literally on the last hours of President Obama's administration, I'm talking about the last hours. For all I know, it could have been that morning of the 20th. The president authorized $221 million to go from the United States, our taxpayer dollars, to the Palestinian Authority. That money had been held by the United States government at the request of Congress. So that had been respected previously, which tells you where this administration wanted to go. But the previous administration. But that money was then released. But then if the Congress said don't do it, the president would respect it. This president did this because there were no repercussions left for him.
Yeah, two things here, Jay. I mean, first of all, more than $200 million. And by the way, that's going to end up in the hand of terrorists. That always happens when we send money to these entities. But the second thing here is the president did this when Congress had no recourse. Typically, these go out in large block grants, and then individual members of Congress, in this case, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, will put a hold on money so that they can't go to certain entities. That hold was in place, Jay, and the president ignored it and sent those funds overseas. And, Jay, there's a reason he did it on his last day in office. It's because he would be gone, and the people in Congress who had a hold on those dollars, what are they going to do? They can't punish him for it. He's gone.
You know, we've been, Jordan, on the other end of those rockets when we've been in Ashkelon and spot in that area and there. And the truth of the matter is $221 million to the PLO, which is basically what it is, Fatah, ends up in the Hamas is their partner in government.
Yeah.
That's a quarter of $1 billion slipping out the door on the last day of the administration. Can you do anything about it legally? No. But just realize that was the plan the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, these were all these last-minute moves. The president did not want to go through the public outcry around them, so he did it the last minute. And we're talking, again, under this current government in the Palestinian territories, this also, it says specifically, will be going into Gaza.
Yep.
For humanitarian services. What does that mean? Propping up the terrorist regime Hamas. So that will be money that goes to help them take care of their people and that helps them keep their grip on power.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls here, Logan.
All right, yeah, a lot of people are calling in
too, but let's go get a call.
Yep, let's go to Chris in LA. You're on the air on line three.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. I have two quick questions. I want to preface quickly. You know, my wife was date raped at 16, highly pressured to have an abortion, kept a child. I now have a stepson in his mid-30s with two amazing children in a marriage, one from birth and one from adoption. Yep. My two questions are, what is being done to incentivize women who are, you know, pregnant that don't want to have the child to incentivize them to have adoptions? And my other question is, if all this goes through, will abortion become illegal?
No, this is, none of this makes abortion illegal. What it stops is federal funding of abortions and federal funding of Planned Parenthood. The abortion would not be deemed illegal by this. If even if Roe versus Wade was overturned, all that does is return it to the states. So, and that would be if the case came up there. But this is the funding aspect of it. Here's the thing you said, though. What about those women that want to keep the pregnancy but can't handle the child afterwards for a variety of reasons? I speak all over the country. I'm going out in just a few weeks, actually the end of this week, to speak in Dallas, Texas, or the Texas area, for crisis pregnancy centers. These centers, healthcare centers for these women, do incredible work. And I encourage you to support the ones in your community. They do great work. Thousands and thousands of babies' lives are saved. Many of them put up for adoption. But they work with the woman and sometimes the father to make this happen. So they do an incredibly important work. And I think that's where we should be spending money. Let's spend money to help encourage life, what the federal government could do, by the way. So if you want to reallocate the funds, that's a great way to reallocate the funds.
All right, let's continue on, try to get another call in before the break. Let's go to Shonda in Georgia. You're on the air.
Yeah, and let's see if we can get some comments up too. Shonda, go ahead. You're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, the thing is, my husband and I, we voted for Trump. We're black, African-Americans, yep, or whatever. But it's really sad that we cannot even voice our beliefs or our opinions based on, you know, what people feel. We're always attacked, and it's more against our people, against us. So we have to keep quiet about everything, yeah, you know, and it's really sad. So hopefully President Trump do something about it, because it's just, we feel closed in, like, yeah, you know, we're happy, but we're just closed,
yeah,
in.
Yeah, Shonda, let me ask you this. I mean, I thought where it was interesting, Donald Trump took a risky move, goes to Michigan, Jordan, politically, and I'm going to go back to, yeah, Shonda, so hang on the line with us here, goes to Michigan, goes into African-American, predominantly African-American churches, and says, the last 8 years have done nothing for you. Give me a chance. And then we see, they said, well, there was an increase in African-American vote in these areas, and increase in the Hispanic vote, and there was, but they went to Donald Trump.
Yes, and it's silent. It's a silent minority right now. It's definitely, yeah, not the majority of those votes, but it's more and more folks who I think were willing to say, you know what, that message is correct. I'm willing not to just be party line and be scared into who to vote for, and willing to, and I think it's because Donald Trump was outside the normal bounds of Republican or Democrat, and people did kind of look and say, okay, listen, we're seeing a lot of unrest in our, yep, country. We see a lot of violence, gun violence, crime, poverty rates, yep, education problems, all these things that you would think President Obama was going to really focus on, he didn't, and so give someone else a chance, someone with a different background who's, right, not just coming from the view that the government can fix all your problems.
So, Shonda, let me ask you this, because I think I'm really happy you called. What is your sense of what Donald, for instance, with Ben Carson at HUD, I think you could see a revolution within housing and urban development in the inner city. Where do you think it, what would be the thing that Donald Trump could do, in your view, as a voter who voted for him, African-American who voted for him? How do you see that? What would be the thing that you think would really set it up?
Well, for myself, I was homeless a long, yep, time ago, and I used it to help me get out of my situation, yep, when I was living in California. But for me, like, my husband is a Vietnam vet,
yep,
and he was laid off because he wasn't, he worked for what he... He's very educated. He's really smart. But, yep, the thing is, he was let go because he wasn't. They didn't want to pay him the $30, $40 an hour based,
yeah,
on
so
his
I think
knowledge.
Those. I think you're going to see a lot more jobs return to the United States of America. The president did away with the TPP yesterday, literally in the stroke of a pen. So I think you're going to see some big economic changes there. I appreciate you calling in, Sean. That means a lot. Thank you for your insight on that. Very helpful. Got some interesting comments coming in, Logan, on Facebook and Periscope.
Sorry, Dana says, can we fund crisis pregnancy centers instead?
Okay. Instead of funding abortion. And the answer to that, Jordan first, then is yes.
Of course we can.
Yes, of course you can. And that would be a step in the right direction, encouraging a culture of life.
Right. Our law does not require us to provide any kind of services. So we don't have to. There's no constitutional right to mandate, have to fund Planned Parenthood. That's all based off congressional law.
But they do try to argue that.
They do. They try to make it like it's become. Now, it's one thing to say it's abortion is legal in the constitutional sense right now under the current interpretation of the Supreme Court. That does not mean Congress has to pay for it. Even things like health care, Congress doesn't have to subsidize that. Right. They don't have to have Medicaid or Social Security. They created these safety net programs for the people. They don't have to have them. So I think what's important is that we have much more creativity and flexibility in how we can fund women's health specifically if we get out of this mindset that only Planned Parenthood should be receiving these funds.
So, Than, if we want to encourage a cultural life on the life issue, I think encouraging these crisis pregnancy centers, these women's health centers that encourage life, and I speak at a lot of them, would go a long way to doing that.
You do exactly all of the things we're talking about on today's broadcast, Jay, because guess what? None of them cut a single dollar from the federal budget. Right. In fact, what they do is take those dollars away from abortionists and make them available to other places like crisis pregnancy centers or community health clinics, maybe not even a pregnancy center, but any of the above that actually provide women a choice. Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry don't provide a choice. They provide abortion. If you free up those dollars, you encourage the culture of life. And, Jay, you do it without cutting a single dollar from health care. You actually add dollars to health care.
Yeah. Logan, do we have time for a call before the hour and 14 seconds? An hour, a minute and 14, probably not. Another comment?
This is a comment said from Becky. Said, finally, we have an administration that cares about the unborn. Also, another comment that came in said our tax dollars should never have funded abortion, especially outside of our country. I think a lot of people are shocked about that.
Yeah.
Because it's been 8 years, haven't really heard about the news that it was
hundreds
happening
of millions of dollars.
Overseas.
Yeah, Jordan, that's a big number. Hundreds of millions of dollars were going overseas.
Oh, yeah. This was one of those issues we've talked about a lot where the State Department funds and discretionary funds, just the UN, was $10 billion. So imagine the amount of grants going out to their separate international entity, Planned Parenthood International, which without the Mexico City policy, which wasn't in place for the last 8 years until yesterday, they could actually take those funds from the State Department and from the U.S. government and pay for abortion procedures overseas.
All right, we're going to be here for the last segment of the broadcast, and that means you can ask us anything you want. Our phone lines are open. Logan will let you know how you can do that and get your comments in as well.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or join us on Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in right now.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Planned Parenthood receives hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars each year. And at the ACLJ, we're working with the Trump administration and members of Congress to stop the flow of taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. We're also vigorously battling in the biggest pro-life cases in the nation to defeat the abortion industry and to defend life. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. The time to do that is right now. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. This is the same. We take your calls on any topic. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We have a couple that we went through a couple yes on the last segment to clear some lines for you. So you can call us if you'd like. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Supreme Court nominee could come as early as Monday. So be prepared. We will be. That's a big one. All right, let's go ahead.
Yeah, this comes in from Periscope. Anthony asks, so the U.S. does not ban all funding to abortion. It's done on an individual basis by the Hyde Amendment. Is that right, Jay?
The federal funds, Stan, let's walk everybody what exactly, that's a good question, what exactly the Hyde Amendment did and what this legislation does.
So, Jay, the Hyde Amendment, which has been around for about 40 years, prohibits taxpayer dollars from actually going to the procedure of abortion. Now, Planned Parenthood still has gotten lots of funds, and like Chris Smith explained to us, they use it for other things, and then they use their privately raised money for the abortion. So it's nothing but an accounting scheme. But this bill, Jay, would do two things. First of all, it would make it permanent. You would not have to revisit it every year. This is something that has to be passed every year.
Right.
And it would also apply it government-wide and not just to the one funding bill that it's been attached to. And, Jay, last thing here. This is why it's important. For so long in D.C., Democrats have actually gone along with this because about two-thirds of the American people agree with this. They don't agree with that anymore. They want to do away with the Hyde Amendment. So now we have a debate whether or not it should be the law of the land. H.R. 7, Chris Smith's bill, would make it the law of the land.
Yeah, so very important. All right, Logan, let's hit these phone calls.
All right, let's get them, take them in order. Let's go to Lori, who's calling in Indiana on line 4.
Hey, Lori, you're on.
Hi, guys. I just have a statement, and then I have a question. When the Affordable Care Act came out, my company sent a representative out to talk to us about that. And at that time, for a single woman, I was going to have to pay for $300 a month with a $6,000 deductible. The representative suggested to me at that time that I had them cut my hours so that I could get on the free Obamacare.
Well, there was no free, and there was no free Obamacare. I mean, that was this whole, none of that was correct. And you're right. The insurance rates have gone up exponentially under the Affordable Care Act. When you open it up to competition, Jordan, that's going to change the whole dynamic. And that's one of the things that has to go when they do the repeal in place.
Yeah.
You've got to let these insurance companies compete across state lines.
Yeah, you've got to force the insurance companies to become viable businesses and not just be kind of these third-party actors of the federal government. Affordable Care Act was a bailout
right.
for insurance companies. They loved it. It forced people into plans without competition. And so it's gotten to the point where in some areas there's only one choice. And they can make the rates whatever they want. And people saw
right.
that, the rates being increased up to premiums up 100% in states like Arizona and 50% in other states. So it is time to force these insurance companies to compete on the market. Is there going to be a shakeup? Are they going to have to change their business model?
Sure.
Absolutely. And they knew that on election day. And they're making those preparations as well.
Right.
So, but yes, we're going to have to, if you want the shake, you have to have the shakeup here. You can't have business as usual.
Right.
Got to have competition. That's what America's
about. No question.
About. Comment came in from Norma on Facebook, said, my insurance is a $1 per month surcharge to make me pay for abortions.
Correct.
Would Chris Smith's bill address this?
Yes, you will not be paying that surcharge
for
abortion.
That's one of the expansions of this bill that the Hyde Amendment didn't cover on its own, that the Obama administration was sneaking around. This makes sure that isn't done.
Yeah.
While the Affordable Care Act is being repealed itself.
Right.
All right, let's take some calls. Jim's calling in Oregon on line one.
Thanks, hey, Jim.
Good afternoon. My thing is on the Affordable Care Act, I'm a retired police officer, 28 years.
Yes, sir.
And I have not been able to pay for health insurance.
Because of the
because
of the cost?
$500 a month for one guy, right?
Yeah.
And then the IRS sends me a letter.
Yeah,
you
it says if you don't pay it, you got to pay the penalty.
Yes, I have.
All right, so let me tell you what's happening on that, Jim. We're tight on time. So in the president's directive yesterday, the question came up, and the issues come up is, he says, alleviate all of the burdens you can, including the burdens on individuals. I would think that would include, but we don't know this for sure. That's the truth. You need to talk to your tax professional about this. That, and I think they will clarify it in the days ahead, that that means they're not, the IRS is being instructed not to enforce the penalty on the individual mandate. That's how I read it. But again, it's not conclusive, but that's how they I read it. Sean Spicer in his press conference wasn't 100% sure, and that's how it was going to play out. That, I think, is the intent of the executive action. They'll clarify that in the days ahead.
Yeah, that's right. I'm surprised that with your caller, too, that as a former police officer, your union is not having doesn't have better plans either, but a lot of these closed up with the Affordable Care Act because
they couldn't afford it.
They were promised that, you know, hey, this will handle everybody, don't worry, and yet the costs were out of control.
No, I think that's why you saw the union laborers meeting with Donald Trump yesterday and kind of in a pretty good mood about it. All right, let's go ahead and take another call or comment.
Yeah, let's go to Joy in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, Joy, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Yep. Yes, I had a question. Has anyone, any entity, whether it be government, outside, internal, I'm sure they have, has anyone ever audited monies versus procedures, no matter what the procedures were, in Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, so Than can give you that, but the fact of the matter is it breaks it down. We've broken it down on this broadcast many, many times, but Than, yeah, we know where the money's allocated, how much. They raise $1 billion. In addition to the $500 million they get, they're over $1 billion a year as a corporation.
Well, and honestly, Jay, the best audits are not done by the government. They're done by groups like us that look at Planned Parenthood's own numbers. Let me tell the caller this. Just in the last year that was reported, they did 327,000 abortions. And, Jay, they provided prenatal care or adoption referrals for less than 5,000 mothers. Yep. Those are accidental footnotes in the business model of Planned Parenthood. They are in the abortion business, plain and simple.
That is their business. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Let me tell you what we have going out today. If you're not getting our emails, by the way, you need to sign up for them. You can do that by going to aclj.org, aclj.org. You can sign up for our emails and our alerts there, as well as our social media. We've got an email going out today that says, today's a critical moment in the fight to stop the paying for abortion. Today, Congress is voting on a bill to permanently stop funding abortions. This bill simply says no federal funds authorized or appropriated by federal law shall be expended for any abortion. It is literally, Jordan, it's that direct. And you've got the Mexico City policy on the foreign funding of abortion done because President Trump was able to do that by executive action. He cannot do this by executive action. No. This takes congressional action.
That's right. And so it takes to both prohibit the funds from paying for abortions in the U.S. So this, again, handles the domestic side of this. And also the workaround that the Obama administration put in, as Congressman Smith explained on the broadcast earlier, that allowed these reimbursements to go to Planned Parenthood and insurance plans that also covered abortion services, like the caller was just mentioning. This would expand that to make sure that no direct dollars are going to actually pay for abortions or plans that provide for abortions. And then the next battle is we don't need to be subsidizing the number one abortion provider in the world for everything else they do either. Right. That's the Planned Parenthood defunding.
Yeah. So, by the way, 223,023 of you have signed our petition to stop funding the abortion industry. That becomes very critical. Than, in 10 seconds, that petition becomes very critical literally today.
Oh, absolutely. Both in the House, where I think it's going to pass, but, Jay, then also when the fight moves to the Senate over Planned Parenthood defunding, this is going to be a big fight. You're talking about $500 million on that fight. Those petitions are going to be crucial.
So, folks, sign it at aclj.org. Or everyone that's watching or listening right now, whether you're on radio, SiriusXM, Facebook, Periscope, wherever you're hearing the broadcast, podcast, aclj.org to sign that petition. And, Logan, there are many ways for people to continue to engage with us.
That's right. Like you said, follow all our social medias, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, wherever you can find us there. You can also get the ACLJ app on your iPhone, on your Roku device, or your Apple TV. We get to watch the show archived each and every day, and also our films and everything absolutely free. And, of course, all that information can be found right at aclj.org.
The fight to protect life is intensifying. Now, with the Trump administration at the helm, efforts are ramping up to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill to stop funding big abortion. Add your name to our petition to defend life and defund Planned Parenthood. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.